If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, sometimes we just have to get still and know that God is still God. And that God has things under control. And sometimes that we try to control stuff, but we have to just sometimes let go of the control and let go of the reins and let God. I'm going to start actually on Ephesians 6:13. And we'll skip back up in a minute. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, it goes on to say, stand therefore. And it goes on talking about the armor of God. But, you know, I want to kind of look at this thing. It says, having done all to stand, we keep standing. Now, sometimes when we read that, having done all to stand, what is doing all? So a lot of times that whenever we think doing all, we're thinking about doing everything that we can to stand on our own. But God's not talking about us standing on our own. He's talking about understanding what God has done for you through his son Jesus Christ so you can stand up. Now, you know, when someone stands at attention, when you see, you know, someone in military service and they're standing at attention, they don't move. They stand still. They stand still and they stand strong. You know what? When you know who you are in Christ Jesus, when you know who your God is, you can stand still and you can stand strong. And you can know that no matter what's going on, no matter how bad the storm looks, no matter how it looks like that everything is falling apart, and we've all been there when our world seems to be falling apart, it seems that no matter what decision we make, it's the wrong one. It seems that we can't do anything, we can't get ahead for going behind. But when we reach that point, when we reach that situation, we have to, you know, decide who's controlling our life. Because too many people are trying to do all when they're reading the scriptures. You know, it says having done all, but having done all is having put all the armor on. Having done all to stand is, you know, meaning have you done everything you need to spiritually? It's not talking about your natural emotion, because usually here's what happens. This is what most Christians do, and I'm not making fun of you because I've done the same thing. What we do in life when we face these situations, where usually what happens, first of all, we let these situations get so far out of control, and then we start, we're not too concerned about it right at the beginning. We wait till it gets like we can't handle it anymore, and that's when we start worrying about it. And once you get to that point, you know, we can't think about God because we're so busy thinking about the situation. And that's just our natural minds. But it seems that once it gets so bad, finally we say, you know what, God, you got to take control. But what God's trying to say is, let me take control all the time. And you won't have to worry about these situations. Just let me take control. Now, you know, sometimes that we, I know this sounds really hard, but what we have to do in our Christian life, is live out of control. Now, I found out that Christians don't want, or people in general, don't want to be without out of control. They want to have control over the situation. They want to have control over the wheel. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, and it's been a long time. I was a lot lighter back then. But I've ridden on the back of a motorcycle with a few people. And there's nothing worse than riding on the back of a motorcycle with somebody. Because now, you know, I can ride a motorcycle and I'm very confident in my ability not only to ride a motorcycle, but to avoid a car because they're not looking at you. You know, because the biggest reason why you have wrecks is not because the guy's out of control. It's because other people don't see you. You know, especially in the world that we live in with text messaging and you know, all kinds of stuff that we're doing in the car, that you know, people are distracted and it's easy to not see a motorcycle. But you know what? Being on the back is really, really concerning. In fact, you know, I was I was about 12 or 13, and I have I'm actually shocked. My mom actually let me ride on the back of the motorcycle, but there was a individual who him and his wife used to watch us sometimes, and they had one car and a motorcycle, and so sometimes they would take my sister in the car, and me and this guy would take his motorcycle to go do the activity that I wanted to do. And so he's like, hold on. I said, now when we go in the corners, lean in. Well, you know, lean in, I don't know how much I need to lean. Because if I lean too much, it might not be good. Especially, you know, now understand, you got to understand, I'm 12, 13. I'm not, you know, like I am today. I'm a lot smaller, a lot lighter. I'm not sure if you can even feel whether I lean or not at that point in time. You know, because at one time, I was pretty lean. I wasn't, when I was a kid, I wasn't very big. I was really skinny, actually, which I know it's hard to imagine that, you know. You know, but it really, really was. In fact, my mom used to complain because I was so skinny I couldn't wear normal jeans. I had to wear Billy the Kid slim jeans. And, you know, and that's before skinny jeans were actually in style, so, you know, that... You know, they didn't have, you know, the real tight fit jeans in it, but you know, my waist was so small. But, you know, I took care of that a few years later, so, you know, we have the other problem. But anyway, it's no fun being out of control. If you don't have the wheel of, you know, it's easier for me to ride in the car with somebody than to ride on the back of a motorcycle. But because you realize that you don't have a whole lot to hold on to. Or I can give you another illustration. Another thing I don't like to do is on a wave runner, you know, or some other kind of other, you know, watercraft, where basically you're holding on to the person in front of you. And because when you're riding a motorcycle with two people, normally most people are just trying to have fun, you know, and just, you know, putt around or get to the situation. Whenever you're on the water, there's just some kind of unique thing that you want to jump waves and stuff like that. No matter if you have two or three people on, that's no big deal, because if you fall off, it's just water. Doesn't hurt or anything. Yeah, sure. Fall off of... I've fallen off one of those things going 50 miles an hour. It hurts. I just want to tell you. Yeah. It does hurt. You know, but I set the world somersault record on water. So it was like... Anyway. Okay. Moral story, don't do 50 miles an hour on a wave runner. Or don't be in the back of the wave runner when somebody else is doing 50 miles an hour. But anyway, so all you have is really to hold on to that person. And, you know, so really depending on how strong your arms are, whether you're going to make it or not. Or like, hey, you know, get ready, we're going to jump some waves. So being out of control is no fun. You know, and really what's happening is in order to let God control your life, you have to let him be in control. And many people don't want to be not in control. They want to control everything. But God is saying, you know what? I'm still in control. And you can't fly high above the storms and stuff, you know, if you're the one trying to control it. See, if you're trying to be with God and he's taking care of you, then that means you're not the one in control. And, it's a great feeling to know that God has your back and God has things going on for you, but you know that means that you don't have control. And what's different about being on back of a motorcycle, a wave runner, is you don't see God, and you're not holding on to God physically. You know, and so in a lot of ways, it's almost in. I know this is bad to think about, but I was trying to figure out how do you think about, like, holding on to God whenever you can't be holding on to God? So you almost have to imagine you're holding on to God. You know, and I learned imagination. You know, when I was a kid, I used to watch Sesame Street, Electric Company, and Mr. Rogers, because I always had a wonderful day in my neighborhood. But later on, when I started having kids, my kids watched Barney, and Barney really taught me about imagination, because he was a dinosaur from our imagination, because I don't know if you realize the whole show, some of you might have never seen Barney, you don't even know who he was, he's a purple dinosaur guy, some of you, maybe your grandkids have you know, watched him or whatever, but he wasn't a real person, he was like a little stuffed animal, and all of a sudden, when they begin to imagine, all of a sudden he popped up and he was real. Not sure how that works, but anyway, the thing about it is that sometimes you have to, for lack of another better term, imagine God's in control. And you're hanging on. And you have to just remember God has your back. God's taking care of it. But if God's taking care of it, you don't have to do a bunch of stuff. But just be still and know that he's God. That you can just stand strong knowing that God has things under control. But it's really hard when the lightning flashes and the thunder's rolling. It's really hard whenever it seems that your boat's sinking. It seems, you know, because, and we've all been there. It seems that everything is falling apart. And, you know, we all get to a point. In fact, I just right before I got up here on stage, I had a girl that actually sent me an email. You know, she's just having a tough time. This girl was actually grew up in my youth group and been around Rainbow for a long time. And she's like, I'm at my end. I'm at the end of my rope. And the problem is she has to end her rope because she's dependent upon her own self and her own strength and her own power and her own might. And you're not going to be able to handle it. You're going to have to decide you can't handle all your problems. And, you know, sometimes, and I know, I know some of you are not a man because you're a female, but, you know, they'll say, you know, just stand there and take it like a man. Well, you know, the thing about it is, I don't care how much you want to try to so-called man up, you're not going to be able to handle it. You can't handle it. Because skipping back, see, all the stuff that's coming against you is not coming from mere men and mere men's strength. And so it doesn't matter how strong you are, you're coming against a stronger force. Going back to Ephesians 6, going back to verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, this is Paul talking to the church there, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So you know what? We have to be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong in your own strength. Be strong in the Lord, in his power, in his might, in his ability. Like I said, every time I pray before I minister, we always say, I come not in my own strength, but in his power, his might, his ability. Many people, when they're trying to do all, they're trying to stand in their own strength, in their own power, in their own might, in their own ability. But you can only do so much. You can only do so much. But you have, see, you know, he was started out to say, be strong in the Lord. Not be strong, you know, I don't care how much you work out, lift, you know, I don't care that you can bench press twice your own weight, you know, but that's not going to really help you when it comes against the day-to-day life situations. It just happens. Because, folks, life just happens. Things that we weren't planning on, they happen. Situations that we didn't plan to get ourselves into, it happens. Sometimes it's because of our stupid mistakes. And sometimes we don't know why it happened. You know what I found out? That most of the time when people face situations, they spend more time trying to figure out how it happened instead of trying to get out of the situation and then figure out how it happened. You know, when things happen that you weren't in control, let's get out of that situation. You know, we can analyze how you got there later on. Because the devil wants you to focus on, well, how'd I get here? I don't care how you got there. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you didn't do. What matters is that you're at a place that you don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, you have to say, you know what? I'm going to give it up and I'm going to let God. Amen. I'm going to let God be God. I'm going to get out of control so he's in control. I'm going to give him the reins. I'm going to let him control. You know, and it's not an easy thing to do because you know what? Even though you've given it over to God, you're still having things come against you. Dad calls them obstacles. We call them obstacles, but you know, we have things come against us, even though we know God's in control. You know, because we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. But we're only moved by what we know. And when we know, when we stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that it doesn't matter what else the devil's trying to do. Because it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. And we'll actually probably, I was only going to make this a one-time message, but we're probably going to go a couple of weeks. Dad's minister next week, but on what the armor of God is, because I believe, actually, the Lord showed me today some things about the armor of God that I've never heard anyone speak on before, and I really want to get into that, because the whole thing about being able to stand is learning what the armor of God is and how to use it and how to put it on. You know, because the armor of God is not like a Superman costume that you had whenever you were 12 years old. It wasn't like, you know, you can go up to your room and put on the utility belt and all these different things on and walk out there and say, now I can stand strong. The armor of God, you know, is we have to know what we have through Christ Jesus and what God has given us. But it goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, it's not about people. It's about the devil. And, you know, we don't like to admit this as Christians, but the devil has power. All right? Now, God has more power, but the devil does have power, and the devil has more power than you have and more ability. And I don't care how much your own strength you try, you know, that you're not going to defeat the devil. And that's the problem. People are trying to defeat the devil whenever you have to understand, really, the devil's already been defeated through Christ Jesus. And, you know, we're trying to defeat something that's already been defeated, first of all. I mean, that's like trying to, you know, after a game is finished, trying to go ahead and win the game again. You know, that's like winning a game and then saying, well, man, I guess we lost. Let's, you know, but, you know, you've already won, so you don't have to keep playing. You have to, you know, understand what that victory did for you, and that's really about some things of the armor of God. But it says, we put on the whole armor of God that you may be standing against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Then it goes on to, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, we stand. But we have to understand the power that we're facing. Now, if you are, you know, in any kind of strategic thing, whether it's a war game or whether it's playing a game of checkers or whether it's a, you know, in business or whatever, you have to understand your enemies or your competition. And, you know, the more you understand about your enemy, the easier it is to defeat your enemy. Now, what's really interesting on this situation is your enemy's already been defeated. So I think a lot of people are trying to figure out, well, how can I whip the devil whenever the devil's already been whipped? And that's an interesting concept there. But the real concept we have to understand is I don't care who is saying things to you. Ultimately, it's not about them. It's not about what they say. It's not about what they do, because there is something behind what they're doing and what they're saying or the situations. That's the devil himself. Now, you know, I don't want to say someone's possessed of the devil. I mean, we don't want to say that. Sometimes we think that about some people, but we don't really want to say that. That's not for us to think about. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's not about that person. See, what happens is we get deceived in our own minds. You know, we're living in a world right now where we've seen some people who don't know who they are. They sure don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know who they are. They're, you know, we're coming in the world of the, if you want to call 2015, I think it's the year of the transgender. You know, and that's not really, you know, none of us probably 5 years ago thought that would be a big deal. I mean, 5 years ago, how many of you thought about transgender people? Probably nobody. You know, unless you just happen to live next door to somebody who said they're a transgender or whatever. But it's becoming a hot topic and all this stuff. And, you know, and we have Bruce Jenner, the great athlete, who now he's not Bruce anymore. He's Caitlyn Jenner, and very interesting stuff. You know, but it's not about the person. It's about deception. And the thing about it is, I mean, you can think, we can all think in our own life. You know, there's been times in our life whenever we miss it, but times in our life we probably did some things we shouldn't have, and it wasn't because we're bad people. I mean, I don't think anyone's committed sin because they're bad people. It's because they got in a situation for whatever reason they couldn't control, for whatever reason they went over the limit, for whatever reason they weren't thinking, you know, properly or whatever. You know, I've never met someone sitting, no one's ever came to my talked to me and said, Craig, can I counsel with you a little bit and talk a little bit? Says, you know, I just said, you know, and they start out, so Craig, I just want to let you know that I was walking around one day and I decided I'm just going to start committing sin. It's because it's fun and I just want to do it. No, most people don't start out trying to commit sin. It just happens because they listen to, you know, to a voice that they shouldn't be listening to because they give in to temptation. And, you know, it's not, and then people get mad at the person that helped them move into that situation, but it's not about that person. You're the one that, first of all, you made your own decisions. You realize a lot of us, we want to blame somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. It's your fault. Now, other people can help you, you know, do whatever, but ultimately you had to make a decision. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, some people always say, well, you know, I've heard people talk about that, how they regret a lot of decisions that they make. You know, in all reality, I've always thought about, you know what, I don't regret any decision I've ever made because I've actually made it, because I've never acted, you know, I've made the decision myself. It wasn't somebody else, it was me. Now, am I unhappy with some of the decisions I've made probably in life sometimes? Yeah. You know, do I wish I made a different decision? But I don't regret it because, you know what, I made that decision. I made it. Maybe it was wrong, but I made it. You know, and the thing about it is that decision ultimately is not controlling my destiny because God's still in control. So you know what? I don't even dwell on the things that I might regret. Because in my own life is that, you know, once we come to God, once we get things back in line, those decisions don't really matter anymore. But too many times people want to focus. When people begin to regret about things, they're focusing in on something, situation that shouldn't even affect them for the rest of their life. Because they took care of that when they came to Jesus. But they didn't realize I took care of it, because if you've taken care of something, you can't regret it. In fact, you shouldn't be thinking about it. Now, I know it's easily said and easier done, and one thing my grandfather always said, you know what? God will forgive you, but sometimes take a long time for people to. And God won't remind you of your past sins. People will. The devil will. People are not going to remind you. I mean, they, you know, God's not going to remind you. He's not going to say, well, you know, the reason I'm punishing you, the reason you're going to have, because some people say, well, you know, things aren't working out because God's punishing me because I made wrong decisions. No, God's just happy that you're making right ones now. He's not punishing you. He's, you know, our God's not a punisher. He loves us, you know, and he has our back. But the thing is, the devil is there coming against you. And whenever you get the concept and you realize that it's not about the people, it makes you, it's easier to love people regardless of how, you know, I don't want to always use the word stupid, but I mean, regardless of their bad decisions, regardless of what they're doing, what they have done, even when they've done things against you, you can still love them because you understand that's not really them. It's they were being influenced by a greater figure. And you know what? That's why the Bible says that pray for those that persecute you. And if we really look at the life of Jesus, we would realize that's what Jesus did. When he hung on the cross and they were making fun of him, some of the last words he said was, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. He didn't say, Father, punish them for putting me up here. Said forgive them because you know ultimately Jesus was there dying for them. You know, and ultimately that was what was going on. But you know, the devil is there to deceive us. Now, John 10:10, and I quoted a lot, but I want you to turn there to John chapter 10, verse number 10. And I quote this a lot because this is a number of years ago now, probably about 10 years ago, when I was praying and seeking the Lord about about some teaching that I was going to do there at the school, and really, you know, he really showed me where the biggest reason that we're missing it is not because we don't believe in God, it's because we don't realize the devil is coming against us all the time. We don't realize that there's an unseen force that is powerful. And Jesus told us in John 10:10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they may have it more abundantly." And most of the time when I hear ministers talk about these verses of Scripture, they really go in and focus on the abundant life. And Jesus came for you to live life abundantly. I focus in on the devil's a crook. That's where I want to focus in on what's really the most important thing. The devil's out to kill you. Because most people, I've found out that they're in situations where they're so far down, they can't think about that Jesus really wants them to have abundant life. They're thinking about everything is out of control. It's because, you know, the devil is there to deceive our minds. He's there to kill us. He's there to kill your dreams, your goals, your visions, everything about you. To attack you, to attack your family. And I found out in my own life that when he was unsuccessful in attacking me, he would start attacking my family, because attacking your family attacks you. You know, and no matter how strong you can stand, you know, you have your kids and your family members and your close friends, and, you know, nobody likes to see someone being attacked. You know, we can stand with them, but you know, the devil's out there to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, I like what it says in the NLT translation, because, you know, if you're going to go to one of those seminars and stuff trying to help you build your life better, they always say, you know what, you need to find your purpose in life. And anyone ever, you know, trying to find, maybe that's why you read some books trying to find your purpose, you know, that's why you wrote the purpose-driven, you know, life, you know, because you want to know your purpose. Well, that's why I like John 10:10 in the NLT. It says the thief's purpose. See, this is his purpose in life. This is what he was made for. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. So he has a purpose. And his purpose is to make your life miserable and used by any measure possible. That's his purpose. And he's doing it on purpose. That's why I don't get mad at people. I get mad at the devil. I mean, ultimately, his whole goal in life is to agitate the snot out of you. And when you feel you're at your wit's end, to keep agitating. Because he would get the most thrill if you took your own life. Or took someone else's life. You know, and he'll use anger, and you know, he'll use rage, and he'll try to cause you to make decisions that you shouldn't make because you didn't think about them ahead of time, and you weren't probably in your own mind. And it didn't mean, I'm not talking about you weren't in your own mind because you're in the mind of Christ. I'm talking about you were you know, for whatever, temporarily insane, or I mean, because, you know, I've seen people. You don't have to be addicted, you know, or strung out on drugs and alcohol to be temporarily insane. I've seen people go in a mad rage and do things that I would never expect them to do. I mean, how many times have we, you know, seen, you know, someone who did some kind of heinous act or shot a bunch of people or whatever? They go talk to their parents and people who knew him said he was a really nice kid. You know, I would never expect, but you know what? One day he got to a point, he snapped. He was trying to control everything, and he couldn't control anything. And you know, my purpose and my thinking about in life is, why didn't someone notice? Why didn't someone notice that he was that? Because usually, I mean, if you're close enough to, we all have close friends. We all have people that we hang around, or, you know, maybe we don't have a choice because they're our family. So whether you want to hang around them or not, they're around, they hang around you. But, you know, usually when someone's kind of losing it, you kind of know. You know, and you know, usually you don't have to wait till you read about it in the news to actually know that this guy's having some issues. He needs some help. You know, So where was other, but you know what happens? We live in a world that we're so busy worrying about our own self that we don't worry about other people. We're like, well, you know, we live in a, you take care of your own situation. Man, I got too much stuff. You know who I'm concerned, I'm worried about this and worried about that. Worried about, you know, first of all, you're not trusting in God if you're worrying about everything. You know, so, but now it goes on to say, after it gives the devil's purpose, it says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, many of us would read that and we think, do I really live a rich and satisfying life? And probably most of you probably do not think you live a rich and satisfying life. So what's the problem? You haven't let Jesus do his purpose in your life. And the reason you can't do his purpose in your life is because the devil is trying to destroy the purpose that Jesus has for you. Man, you know what? Jesus doesn't want you to wake up every day and think, man, it's another day. It's another day. No better than yesterday. Man, every day is a new day. You know, and every day is an opportunity, you know, to see God do something great. And I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how tough it is, because the reason it's tough is because you're thinking about what you're going through. You have to get your mind about what the, you know, Jesus didn't say, you know, think about the storm. He said, think on me. Think on me. Think on me. You know, if you think about Jesus and what he's done for you and you know, and think about the good times, and you don't think about the storm. Quit focusing on the storm. Yeah, but my life's a wreck. Well, quit focusing on the wrong things. Focus on, you know, Jesus didn't die on the cross for my life to be a wreck. He died on the cross so I can have an abundant life. The Lord wants you to have it better than you have it. And really, and I hate saying this because people don't like it. The person that's affecting your life the most is you. The people that are affecting you really having what God's purpose for your life is you. It is not because you need to do the 12-step method, or you need to get 99 steps, or you need to do this. You know, see, in life, we've actually have down to it. If we can do the right steps, it'll all work out. Well, if you have the right attitudes, the steps will all work out. If you're focusing on the right things, you know, see, it's not about what steps you make. It's about that you trust in the Lord. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. You know, and we'll talk about righteousness when we look at the armor of God. Man, you know, the deal is who's taking the steps and how we're taking the steps and who's giving the direction. Because, you know, if we're getting wrong direction, the thief's purpose is to kill us. And so if we're not focusing on what God's purpose for our life, and I'm not saying we mean to focus on something else, but what happens whenever we're standing strong is the thief begins to talk to our mind and tell us, you know what, it's not going to work out. Man, I've seen a lot of people in that situation, and they didn't end good for them. You know, your mind will play tricks on you. Your mind will begin to, you know, tell you that you're not going to make it. And that's why Jesus told us to be out of our mind. He did. I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, well, Paul told us to have the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ is not having your own mind, right? So you need to think like Christ would think and not like you think. So basically, whenever you have thoughts come, just don't think like you would think and you'll be right. But it's hard not to think like you think because you don't see things beyond, you know, we don't see, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. But you know what? Let's go back to a few stories in the Old Testament when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked into a fiery furnace that they just watched the guard, because I guess that the fire wasn't hot enough, so King Nebuchadnezzar said, let's make that seven times hotter, because I don't know, because seven's a godly number, so make it seven times hotter. You know, so we'll burn you up. So they watched the guard die when turning up the flame. And the guy didn't even walk into the fire. And so now you're going to go into the fire. Well, think about this. I mean, you know, did it seem like that they were going to go in the fire and going to have a good outcome? Did their natural man say, you know what, we can, I don't care. That guy was weak. He wasn't a real man. I mean, if he was a real man, he would have been able to turn the knob up higher and not die. You know, what's a little heat? You know, so when you think about the heat's being turned up, and I don't mean it's too hot in your house. I mean you just don't know what to do. I mean, ultimately that's the heat getting turned up. You know, but I love what they said to the king. They said, you know what, even if we perish, we're still not going to bow because our God is the real God. They were determined, even if it means, it didn't really depend on whether God was going to get them out of the fire or not. They were determined to know their God. But when they walked in the fire, and you know, they, you know, the story goes, and not when I say story, it's not a story. That's something. A lot of times when we say Bible stories, we think about fairy tales. We think about this wasn't real. I mean, you know, David did not kill, you know, the best warrior in the Old Testament with one rock. Can't be. Didn't happen that way. But the deal is, see, when we come to our problems and situations, we can only think with our finite mind. And how are we going to take care of it? But whenever you begin to focus, it's not about you. It's about God taking care of your problems. It's God taking care of your situation. It's about losing control and turning it over to God. Because, you know, the king said, didn't we, like, throw three guys into the fire all bound up? Yeah, you know, but there's four guys walking around in the fire. So they, you know, not only, I mean that's kind of showing off a little bit. Not only were they not getting burned, they were walking around. They were probably singing, you know, shouting or whatever, because I know I would be. You know, who's afraid of the big bad fire, you know, not, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, they're, you know, because see, they had the protection of Jesus. Now, you know, here's what happens is we hear stories, we see this in the Old Testament, and you know, obviously he said the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Now, I have no clue how King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, knew that the fourth man looked like Jesus, because I don't really think that, you know, the day and age that we live in, you walk around the mall, walk around different places, and they'll actually have pictures of Jesus some places, you know, or whatever. But I don't think he had a picture of Jesus hanging on his wall or anything. How do you know what Jesus looked like? But, you know, I guess he looked so awesome, you could tell that this person couldn't be natural. Now, when we hear about stories like that, we say, well, but see, Jesus was walking with them physically. He was with them. And, you know, but the thing about it is, we have it so much better because Jesus walks with us all the time. Amen. You know, and you've sang about it. If you've been in church, you've sang about it for years. You know that one song, Andy walks with me and he talks with me. And it's not about Andy, folks. You know, it's just the song. And he walks with me and he talks about it. That's about Jesus. He's walking with you. Now, when someone walks with you and they talk with you, they're fellowshipping with you. They're there with you, helping you. So if they're there with you, in fact, the Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. So, you know, and I've done it, we've all done it. You know, whenever we're in our room and snotting, crying, you know, I just don't, you know, knowing what to do, and you know, feeling so alone, we have to understand that Jesus is right there with us. on the inside of us. I mean, he's not just walking around our furnace. He's not on the outside, he's on the inside. And all you have to do is walk with him and talk with him. And, you know, wherever you walk, actually, he goes with you. Now, he can't force you to talk to him. You know, it's not his fault that you're giving him the silent treatment. But he'd like for you to talk with him. Like for you to ask him for help. You know, we need to get rid of the mentality, you know what, that I can do it. Now, we read that verse that says, I can do all things. It says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can only do all things within his strength. But when we read the verse, we don't read it like it really says. We're thinking, I can do all things because I'm strong. Well, you're only strong because of his strength. Amen. You know, and the thing about it is, we have to remember how strong and how awesome that Jesus is when we're going through the worst days of our life in the natural. And that's hard to do. That's where it's really hard to do, because, you know, we have to understand that we can still be still and know God's God when it looks like that we're going under, when it looks like we're going to be consumed in the fire, when it looks like that we're not going to survive. When it looks like, you know, we're like, I don't, how many times we've been there, you're like, I don't know what to do. Well, when you don't know what to do, you need to let him do it for you. You know, but the thing about it is, it's a whole lot easier if you just put the whole armor of God on, at all times you can stand. I mean, it's his attention, you know, it's what he wants you to be able to stand at any time. But what happens is we get knocked down and then we stand up. Man, we need to know God all the time. We need to know what he wants us to do. And so, like I said, we're going to talk a few weeks on how to stand when it seems like we can't. How to stand when it seems like everything's falling apart. How to stand when your world's not, you know, is just being turned upside down and you don't know what to do. And we'll continue in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about the armor of God, but I want to leave you in Proverbs, the Old Testament, you know, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs the 3rd chapter. I don't have my bookmark here, so I'm having to actually look it up. And you know, Proverbs 3. You know, actually, I'm going to start with verse 1. And I guess I'm just going to read it. I'm on the NLT. I'll just read it that way. It says, my child, never forget the things that I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let the loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Verse 5 is what I really want to get to. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read the next verse, because it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. It's not about how wise you are. And I was talking, well, actually, I wasn't talking. I was walking and heard, you know, someone else talking to their son on the phone and talking about, you know, wisdom or whatever. And we were talking about that. And so I said, well, tell him, he's a pastor. I said, tell him, you know, the last part of wisdom is dumb. You got to remember that. You know, wisdom is wise dumb. And so the dumb part needs to be you. You need to understand, you know what, just be dumb and let God make you wise. Because too many times what we're trying to do, we're trying to figure out our own strength, trying to figure out our own might, and we're trying to gain our own wisdom. If we study enough books, if we do this, we, you know what, if you trust God, things will go okay. If you trust God, he'll provide a way. And it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, do not reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver, and the wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So, you know what? We trust in the Lord with all our heart. What's all our heart means? You know what? When we trust in the Lord, we're not trying to figure things out. We're letting God be God. We're letting God give us that wisdom. We're letting God give us that knowledge. We lean not to our own understanding. I don't care whether you understand it or not. Because what happens in life is people trying to figure out, they're trying to understand how they got to this situation, how they're going to get themselves out, and you're never going to understand God. You're never going to understand. You know. I've seen people when they get a miracle, like I don't even understand. I don't understand how that happened. You know, because there is no human there's no human thing for it. I can't tell you how it happens. I don't know how God is able in an instant to provide that miracle to your life. You know, and God can't just it's not just miracles. See, we think about miracles being, you know, our physical body. But some of you need a miracle emotionally. But the same God provides a miracle to our physical body can provide an emotional miracle. Some of us might need a financial miracle, and it is because we probably made some stupid decisions. But you know what? God loves us that much. You know, but part of having any kind of miracle is letting God give us knowledge and strength. And, you know, maybe that's like, you know what, you should do this, you should do that. But, you know, if we're trusting the Lord with all our hearts and all our mind, then we're also honoring him with our gifts, with our talents, with, you know, not just gifts financially, which we do need to do that, because, you know, I found out that whatever you value the most has first place in your life, and most of the time it's actually, if we really want to be honest, what we value the most usually is money. Because that's what we are usually more concerned about. In fact, you know, the number one reason why marriages break up, you know, is because it's over money. And I've actually found out what I didn't realize this, but sometimes having too much money also causes marriages to break up. You know, I'm like, I never had that part. We never had enough money. Then the money we did have, he always wanted to spend and blah, you know, or whatever. I mean, I know that's heard it many times. And they talk to him. He's like, well, she's spending all the money. And I was the one working, and I worked for all these years. And I bring, and you know, it's always everybody else's fault. Never their fault. But, you know, people get in arguments over money. Well, I found out even having too much money, because, you know, people think, well, if I have enough money, everything will be okay. And, you know, do you realize one of the reasons, and this is not just a Christian thing, this is just, you see a lot of wealthy people, and once they become wealthy, a lot of times they start creating foundations, trying to help things, you know, and sometimes they even try to save the world, save the planet, save the solar system, save the whales, save the rainforest. They're trying to find something to do because, you know what, they made all this money, it didn't make them happy. So they're like, if I can save something, it'll make me happy. You know, if I can help kids get a better education, if I can do that. So they begin to have all these foundations. And I'm not saying, you know, some of these people actually are really good, you know, Christian men and women or whatever. But a lot of times they're trying to find happiness, you know, and it's great some of the things they're doing. But a lot of times they need to get their own self saved. You know, but because money's not going to buy you happiness, and everyone, you know, well, you sure will. It'll help me for a while, at least. You know, maybe, you know, ultimately it doesn't matter. You can win. You know, it's been proven. People who have won the lottery didn't make them happy. Might have made them a little more famous, and, you know, found out that you know, I saw one guy won the lottery, and all of a sudden, you know, He had a knockout model girlfriend, and he was, you know, he wasn't the best looking guy you want to know, but this girl loved him for himself, and we know that. It might make you a little more famous or whatever, but ultimately that make you happier. You know, you have to. It doesn't matter what it's not. You have to be happy in your own self. It's a whole lot easier when you're in children's church as a little kid. You know, whenever we sing, if you're happy, you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy, you know, stomp your feet, and all those kind of things. You know, but I found out clapping your hands and stomping your feet don't really make you happy. Because I've seen some of the maddest people in the world be clapping their hands and stomping their feet and doing all kinds of weird emotions and yelling and screaming, and it didn't make them happy. I think the real point of the whole song, and I'm sure most of you heard the song. Everyone heard that song before? Do I need to sing it? We have Rich come in here and lead us in the song. I think we've all heard it. But the most important part of the whole song: if you're happy and know it, then your face will surely show it. Because you can tell when people are happy and people are not happy. You know, we live in the Christian world, so if you talk to somebody, how's everything going? Oh, praise God, I'm blessed and sanctified and glory. They're acting like they're happy because they're trying to tell themselves they're happy. But you know what? If you're really happy, you'll walk in and be happy. But if you really trust in God with all your heart, if you really, know that he's God, you'll be happy no matter how bad it is. No matter what's going through. And it won't be put on happy. It won't be, that you had to put your happy clothes on this morning. Because a lot of us good church members put on happiness to go to church. You know, we put on our smiley face, put on a, but that doesn't make you happy. Doesn't it make you happy to decide that I'm just going to be more positive today and not gripe at everybody, and I'll just act like I'm... But you know, when you're really happy, you can really tell it. Because Jesus came that we might be fully satisfied. Not just not financially fully satisfied, folks. That's actually happy. Fully satisfied is, you're excited no matter what. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what's going on, but because you know what? It's not about anything but about Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And because he lives, you can still face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Now, why can't we believe our songs? Why don't we believe our songs? I mean, that's an old hymn. Everybody knows the song, but do you live the song? Because Jesus is alive and well, and I know a lot of people are saying that they don't know how they're going to face the future. They don't know how they're going to make it. Because they're trying to stand strong in their own strength, in their own understanding, in their own wisdom. Emphasis on the dumb part. But, if we want to live the life that Christ wants us to live, we can stand strong because we understand who we are in Christ. We understand that it's not about us. We understand that it's not about what we've done. We understand that it's not about what we have done or hadn't done. But it's about that God loves us so much. He's taking care of our situations. That if we trust him and we acknowledge him in all our ways, that he's going to keep directing our path. He's going to keep showing us what the way to go. He's going to give us the wisdom that we need. He's going to help us in every situation. And you know what? We'll know what to do before the time comes because we're listening to the right source. You're not coming against people. It's not about people. I don't care. If you grew up and you had bullies that were mean to you, it wasn't about them. It was about what was behind the bully. The devil's out there and he's mean. He don't like you a whole lot. And his purpose in life is to destroy yours. And the quicker you learn that, the easier it will be. Because there's only one person or one thing that's actually already defeated the devil. It's not like he has to go fight him again. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But, all we have to do is be dependent upon what's already happened. We can be strong because what's already happened. But you know what? It's hard to think about what's already happened. Whatever we're facing, our situation today. Whenever we get bad news, when things didn't happen what we like, or you know, something, you know, when your car that seemed to be doing really well all of a sudden just breaks down, and you find out you need a new transmission, and it's going to cost you a grand and a half. Isn't that grand and a half? You know, and you're thinking, I don't have the money. I don't know what to do. But you know what? You just have to trust God. But well, where's that? Where's God going to get $1,000? You know, $1,500. I got to figure this out. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. He will direct our path. Well, how is He going to? You know what? I'm not here to figure out how God's going to do it, because you know there's things that I've gone through and going through, and I'm like, I don't know how, but you know what? I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep standing. I'm going to just be still and know God is God. And it doesn't matter. Because it's not about my strength. Because, you know, I can't do it. I'm fairly strong and, you know, and stronger than a lot of people. But my strength, I can knock you down, but that ain't going to, that doesn't matter. You know, maybe I can beat up people that's coming against me, but that's not going to defeat the devil. Because you have somebody else going to come against you. I don't care if you can beat them all up. The devil's still going to come against you. You know, and I found out the other day, and this makes me sick. But this is how Christians work. They're trying, I mean, you know, I understand somebody, one guy, he wrote me on Facebook the other day, and he was trying to find, you know, principality rules on high, you know, what level these people are on. I mean, do we come against the principality first? We get, you know, how do we go up the level? You know, there's, you know, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care what level the demon's on. Doesn't matter if it's a higher demon or lower demon or, you know, what. Jesus said, wasn't really concerned about, well, are you a first-class demon or are you just like a smaller demon here? You know, is this a three-star general demon here to come against us? Because, and you know, and some will say, well, we don't do that. Then why do you think that God is more apt to heal you from a cold than cancer? What makes you think, well, it's easier to get healed? Why? Why is it easier? What's the difference? The same guy that can heal you from cold can heal you from cancer. I mean, what's the difference? So I don't care what level the devil's on. In fact, I don't lose sleep trying to figure that out. But you know what? I've actually went to this guy's Facebook page, and he's having arguments on Facebook with people about the classification of the devil. You know, the sad part about it, he's probably getting whipped up by the devil. No matter what level the devil's on, he's spending so much of his time and his energy trying to figure out what classifications. And so when I go through a problem, a situation, I'm not thinking, well, this is a class A problem. You know, I don't rate my problems like tornadoes or earthquakes. You know, I don't have a Richter problem scale. Well, that's a 4.3. I need to, and in fact, you know what? I believe that, this is sad, but I believe, you know, a lot, if we did that, we were like, that's a 4.3. I got to get that back down to the 2.4 level. Because I can kind of handle 2.4, I can handle those. But when it gets, you know, gets high enough, but you know, you haven't gotten the whole point. Quit trying to handle, even if you think you can handle it, quit trying to handle it. Let it go. You know, and quit worrying about everything. Quit being concerned about problems. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to be an idiot either, okay? And we have heads. We all know that there are certain things that we can do. But you know what? Let God lead us and guide us to get us out of the problem. But that means sometimes a lot of times we have to, one thing we have to do is acknowledge there's a problem. And a lot of times we have an acknowledge of the problem, and the problem is our problem. Take responsibility to step up and say, I have a problem. You know what? Sometimes we have to step up and say we have a problem even when we don't have a problem. You realize, when there comes contention between you and a friend you've had for a long time, and you begin to argue and complain about stuff, and maybe they're the ones who did it, who cares? You know what? Say, you know what? This is stupid. We're not, you know, you know, take on and say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. You know, let's let bygones be bygones and have a relationship again. It's stupid. We hold grudges and we do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I saw one day on a one of the movie stars actually did. I'm using the word movie star a little bit lightly, more of a, they were a reality star. But anyway, whatever, doesn't matter. They made money from TV. I guess that's the good thing. And so they were talking about this individual that they've had a feud for, running for like 3 years, but they used to be like best friends or whatever. And so the interviewer asked her, what did that person do that caused their friendship to end? And the girl says, I can't remember. I can't remember, but it must have been bad. Do you know that we laugh about that? But I know people that are like that with some of their friends and their relatives or whatever. They can't remember what the contention was, but they just remember that they don't like that person anymore. That's stupid. And I know I'm not supposed to say it's stupid because my wife tells me I shouldn't say the word stupid. But it's stupid. I don't have any other words for it. I mean, you know, get over it. Because I found out, you know, when you have contention, it's just, if you have contention with one person, it makes you unhappy anyway. And plus, it's really not very fun whenever you go to an event and that person's there. So here's two people that have to try to avoid each other every time they're around each other, and they have some of the same friends, and they make not just themselves miserable, but their own friends miserable, and they don't even know why they're miserable. They're mad at each other. I mean, you know, and then they want to know why God can't work in their life. Like, get over it. Understand. I understand. We've all go through issues. We all have problems. And, you know, what we need to realize, it's okay to let your mind, when the attack comes, it's okay to process it, but it's not okay to let it change your actions. You know, when you have a thought, you know, the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not your ways. When you have a thought that comes against the thoughts of God, or comes against what, you know, who you are in Christ, we need to hear that thought and say, oh, that's not a good thought. I'm not going to think on that thing. You know, Paul says, casting down imaginations. Forget about it. And my grandfather talked about it on a situation that he was having trouble trying to figure out why it happened. The Lord said, do not touch it again in thought life. Because if you keep thinking on it, it's going to destroy who you are and what you think on. And I'm actually, being that, I'm going to kind of get into some things I want to talk about in later on. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And Father God, help some people who are here understand, you know, that we can empathize with what's going on. We can empathize that you are facing some issues, but help them also understand that God's still God, that God's still in control, that he still cares about them, and they can trust the Lord with all their heart. And you know what? It will work out. It will be okay. Quit worrying about those things and just trust in me, says the Lord. Trust in me and you're going to see. Trust in me and it will be. Trust in me. And the things that you thought would never work out will work out, because it's not dependent upon what you know and what you do, but it's dependent upon the one who sees it through and through. Trust in the Lord, and it will be so awesome, so awesome. And the peace of God will keep you and help you to be able to stand. Know that I'm God, and know that I have things in control. Thank you for it. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we praise you. We thank you, Father, for what you've done for us. We thank you, Father, for sending your son, Jesus, to take care of our situations. And Father God, help us to understand that we need to lose control of our own life so you can take control. Father, help us understand that we can stand strong. Help us understand that it will be okay. But Father God, help them understand that when they're going through the situation, not just now, but anytime and every time. Every time, I just pray that everyone here tonight that when they face that next time, when it seems like in their brain saying it's not going to work out, there's no way, that something on the inside will say that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And they'll begin to trust in you with all their heart. Father, help us understand that Jesus, your son Jesus, walks with us and he talks with us and he leads us and he guides us and he helps us all the time. Father, we just thank you for these precious people. Thank you that they have a purpose in life. And their purpose is not to be destroyed by the enemy, but their purpose is to stand strong and go out and touch this world. Father, help us to not be Christians that just are all about our own self, but help us to be Christians that they're concerned with other people. And when we see other people that are hurting, other people that don't know what to do, help us and lead us and guide us and give us words of wisdom to speak to these people. Help us to be able to talk to them and open the door so that we'll be able to talk with these people and help these people. And Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. But Father, we thank you if anyone is here that's not saved, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. But I want to tonight. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I knew Jesus. I walked with him. I was in church. I was doing the right things, but I've kind of turned my back. I've kind of went my own way. And tonight, publicly, I want to come publicly and rededicate my life publicly in front. I want to do that tonight. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you want to rededicate your life tonight, lift your hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I've heard you guys talk about the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, I encourage you to do that today. Do that tonight. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you lifted your hand for prayer on any invitation, or you should have lifted your hand for prayer, I want you to just come down here. I want to pray with you right here for a few moments. And so if you lifted your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand, but you should have, I want you to come down now. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. So if you lift your hand for prayer, whether it be saved the first time, rededication, or infilling the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. It's okay. The altar's open. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. This man, he came for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's just a gift from God. Just like you received a gift from God whenever you were saved. And it's just, it belongs to you. So what I'm going to do, sir, I'm going to pray with you right here for a few moments. And then we're going to send you to a place and they're going to talk with you. They're going to give you some instruction and they're going to lead you through that process. Amen. But I want you to know that Jesus loves you so much and he cares about you. And I tell you what, your life will never be the same. Father God, we just thank you here for Vince. We thank you for his life. We thank you, Father, for filling him with the Spirit. We thank you, Father, that he'll have a life like he's never had it before. And we thank you, Father, for just giving him strength and wisdom. We thank you for everything you're doing in his life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Are you taking him or Glenn taking him? Turn around, and this is Mr. Glenn Freeman. He's going to take you and he's going to pray with you and make sure that you got what you come for. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. God's a good God. God loves us so much. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you before we're dismissed. And I tell you, we've had so many testimonies from here in the church about folks getting healed. And, you know, it's so awesome. It's so awesome. Amen. It's so awesome. God's a good God. He wants us whole. So I don't care what is going on. I don't care if you have a cold. I don't care if you have the flu. In fact, I encourage you. A lot of times we do not come forward when we have something small. We say, well, I'll handle it myself. You know what? God wants you to, he wants to take care of your healing no matter what. You know, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Let me speak to you guys right here, first of all. First of all, understand that I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. I can't heal you. He does. All right? I don't want you to put your faith in me. You put your faith in him. You put your trust in him. All I am is a vessel that he's using. You know, it's just like if you wanted to wash your hands you go to the bathroom and there's a sink there and you want to wash your hands afterwards, hopefully you do, you know, use soap and stuff like that. But, you know, you have to have a few things. First of all, you have to have the sink that actually the water flows. You have to pay the water bill, first of all. And so, but the water can't flow until you turn the knob, right? You know, unless it's one of those automatic ones, then you have to like wave your hand or do some kind of magic trick in order to get the water to come out. But you know, the water is like the healing power of God. And the deal is, I'm like the spigot or the faucet, the one that helps you provide the water. It's not my water. It comes from God. But you're the knob. Your faith is the knob. You turn the knob by acting on your faith. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a general prayer for you right now, and then I'm going to go, and I'm going to lay my hands on your head. And I don't know what I'm going to say. Don't worry about what I say doesn't matter. What I say is not going to heal you. But I want you to know that whenever I lay my hands on your hand and begin to pray for you, the healing power of God will flow in your body, and you will feel that tangible anointing. When you feel it, I want you to say, it's mine. What's that doing? When you're saying it's mine, that's you're turning the knob. I want you to say, I have it, or something like that. Amen? And if you fall over, you fall over. We have people that are going to catch you. People understand why they fall. Well, it's because the power of God is a force that sometimes our body can't stay standing because the power of God hits us. But you know what? Don't worry about that. Falling will not heal you. Not falling will not heal you. Don't trust in the falling or not falling. Just trust in the Lord. So what I want you to do, I want each and every one of you, I want you to close your eyes, first of all, and I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. And I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about Jesus Christ, and I want you to think about being healed, not having that sickness anymore. Father God, we just thank you right now for these precious people. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God that's flowing into their body. Father God, we just thank you right now as we go to minister to them. We thank you, Father, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, that they're well, that they're whole, that everything will be okay. And Father God, we just thank you in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name, that's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God is flowing. It's flowing. That's it right there. There it is. 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 Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. Be healed now. Hallelujah. In the name. In the name. The name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus. Be healed now. Be healed. Oh, there it is. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Let God work. Let God work. Let God work. Quit trying to think in your own mind. It's not about your own mind. Not about your own ability. But just let go. Let go. Let go. And let God. Let go and let God. Trust in him. Trust in him. In the name of Jesus. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Be healed now. In the name. In the name. In the name, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, receive, 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 receive. Ah, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Hamosinda kononda. The name of Jesus, the name of. Ah, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. Be healed now. That's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. You don't have to try to do anything. You just let God. Let God. Let God. Let God. Let God. Let God. Oh, there it is. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Be healed now. 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 Receive. 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 Haseba. Receive. 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 Receive your healing now. In the name, the name, the nombre, the nomi, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name, the name, the name, the nomi, the name, the name, the name, the name of Jamasanda. That's it right there. 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 In the name, the name. The name of Jesus, receive, 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 receive your healing now. Hallelujah. In the name. There it is, right there. That's it 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 right there. Receive. Receive your healing now. In the name. The name. The name. The name. The name. The name. The name, 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 the name of Jesus. Receive, 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 receive. Oh, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Complete healing. Complete healing. A complete healing in the name. The name, the name, the nombre, the name, the name, the name of Jesus. Oh, that's it right there. There it is. 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 Receive in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it right there. God's working on you right now. He's working on you right now. Receive it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may go back to your seat. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Amen. Well, praise God. Don't forget, you know, we're having our bowling activity, and maybe you can't bowl, maybe you don't like bowling or whatever. Just come out and enjoy the, you know, maybe the bowling alley doesn't have the best food in the world. Let's just be honest. All right. They have good pizza? You don't even know what bowling alley we're going to. How do you know if they have good pizza or not? It's a rule in life that all bowling alleys have good pizza because they all buy from the same place. You know, it's called bowling alley pizza. All right. Now, I've actually been to some bowling alleys that actually have really good hamburgers, depending on, you know. But it don't matter whether it's good food or not food. It's not about the food. It's about the fellowship, about the fun, about hanging out and watching some people, you know. The thing about it is once you get there, you're going to see, maybe you weren't so bad at bowling, because some people, they're actually worse than you, and they're actually bowling. So, you know, amen. But also, like I said, it's my dad's birthday. September 3rd is his actual birthday, but we're going to celebrate that next weekend. And I have a card right here. If you haven't signed the card, you want to sign that card for him. Amen. I guess Glenn's over there taking, so someone can take pictures. All right. If you want Glenn to take your picture, he'll have to do it. He's there with the gentleman receiving the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, you know, he can take that afterwards. Amen. Well, praise God. Like I said, Mom and Dad, they'll be here next week. But I just want you to remember, I know it's hard for me to tell you to remember this, but when things are really at its worst, I want you to remember this message. Amen. And we're going to go on, and we're going to look at the whole armor of God, because it's hard to put on something we don't know what it is. And just by reading what it is doesn't really explain what it is. And it's kind of interesting. And I actually, the Lord gave me some things that I've actually never heard anyone minister on some stuff. So, you know, he needed to come and hear some of the things that the Lord really has been, it wasn't something I was kind of planning on. I actually didn't even plan on talking about the whole armor of God. I really talked about being able to stand strong, you know, no matter what's going on. But the Lord really wants me to minister on some things on that. So we'll probably go, you know, another week or two maybe longer because I'm long-winded. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. I'll be back there to shake your hand. If you don't want to take my hand, there's a door over there. You can go out that door. We'll see you back here next week. God bless you.